depend on? Who do you depend on when you have trouble? Or what do you turn to first when a problem or difficulty arises in your life? You see, our first response should be to turn to the Lord for His help. But too often we tend to take matters into our own hands. Amen? I can take care of this. You see, we need to depend on God to do some things tonight. So I want to look at four things that we need to depend on God. And four things that we found in Psalms 115. Number one is we have to learn to give God all the glory. Even when you're going through problems, He's still God. Amen? So often when we go through problems, we get upset and we don't want to worship God. We don't want to praise Him. But folks, He is worthy of our praise. And that shows you the dedication, that shows you the point of maturity as a Christian. When you are going through things, you're not going to get mad and upset at God. You're going to worship Him and praise Him. Because it's easy to worship God. It's easy to praise God when things are going good. But what about when they're going bad? And number two, we must turn away from purely human solutions. Psalms 118, verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Amen? So we have to understand it's not what we can do. It's not what somebody else can do for us. We have to just learn to trust in God. Amen? Put our confidence in Him. And number three, we have to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Amen. We have to know that He has our back. And if we're doing the things that God asks us to do, we can know that He will have our back. Amen? Number four, folks, we need to be in position to receive God's help and His blessing. Amen? You have to be in the position. Psalms 115, verse 13, "He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great." Now, that fearing there, God shows that we acknowledge our dependence on Him. We should depend on God in every situation. Every situation. See, you know why? Because God will never fail you or let you down. He'll never let you down. Now, when you read about King Saul, he was the first king in Israel. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 22. "Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff." So when they're ready to crown him king, they couldn't find Saul. And the Lord told him he has hid amongst the stuff. And that's where they found him. Saul first started out great as a king. But then he began to trust in his own ways, in his own ways of thinking. And he became a failure as a king. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8 through 9, it says, "And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel could not go to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither the burnt offerings to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offerings." See, Saul failed here in this scripture to wait for Samuel at Gilgal. It was Samuel's job to come and offer the sacrifices. And Saul assumed the role of high priest by making a sacrifice to ask God for the blessings. Sometimes, folks, after God blesses us, How many here has God blessed since you've been serving God? You know, sometimes after God blesses us, after we live for Him, we let the stuff that He blessed us with interfere with our living for God. Well, I got to do this. I got to go take care of this situation. I got to take care of that. I got to work extra so I can pay for this. And all the stuff that God blesses us with, we allow it to interfere us living for God. Saul hid amongst the stuff. When we are caught up in the stuff in our life, you know what? We find ourselves impatient. You see, I think that we should always remember just whose stuff that we have, who it belongs to. Right? And we need to understand that the scripture says if we'll seek Him first and seek His righteousness, all those things will be added unto us. And I believe that all the stuff that He adds unto us, He'll take care of also. But we have to put God first. Put Him first. Don't allow the stuff that you have to bring impatience in your life. And you can't wait on God like Saul couldn't wait on prophet. I don't have time to wait on God to help me with this situation. I've got to take care of this. This just has to be done. I can't wait on pastor to give me the okay. I just got to go do this. I don't have time for church. I got too much stuff to take care of. See, Saul was told to go to war against the Amalekites in 1 Samuel 15. And he was told to kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox, sheep, donkey, everything. But Saul carried out his instructions well, except that he spared the life of King Agag. And since he knew he wasn't doing right, he saved some of the best animals. You see, folks, sometimes God wants us to eradicate some things out of our lives. We need to eradicate things like pornography and gambling and lying and cheating or whatever other vice you have. It needs to be eradicated. But see, what happens is we let King Agag, that vice begins to beg for mercy. And we let that vice live. Right? So in order, because we haven't got eradicated that vice, we start looking for sacrifices to give to God. And we bring back the sacrifice animals and we try to suffice God. Saul's disobedience showed that he could not be trusted as the instrument of God's will. And although Saul was allowed to remain king for the rest of his life, folks, the Spirit of God departed from him. We need to understand how important it is to get rid of the vices that God says, I want them eradicated out of your life. Don't bring your sacrifices to me. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your obedience. So he was allowed to remain king until he died. But the spirit was gone. What an awful life to live. A life without the Spirit of God. Being able to commune with that. Saul, the Bible talks about he was troubled by evil spirits that brought about bouts of madness. And Saul's last years that he lived were tragic. They were clouded by periods of depression, clouded by spirits of gloom. Saul's last years, folks, he didn't help his people. You know why? He spent all of his remaining years chasing David to kill. You see what jealousy will do? It'll make you chase after things, try to destroy. We have to understand we have to eradicate jealousy, anger, whatever your vice is tonight. You know what it is. It must be eradicated if you want to be pleasing to God. One of the most tragic figures in the Old Testament, Saul. He could have set the pattern for the future leaders of his nation. His weakness was, you know what his weakness was? His rebellious nature. I'll do what I want. And his inability to adapt to the necessity of sharing power and popularity. Saul wasted his power pursuing unworthy purposes, chasing David. And he allowed the spirit, he allowed the spiritual life of his people to deteriorate because of his madness and seeking after and jealousy of David, seeking after David. But the Bible says that David, he was a man after God's own heart. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." See, David had a commitment. In 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 36, David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and his uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God." David, folks, hear me tonight. David was a man of commitment to his responsibilities. That's what God is looking for in a man. You want to be somebody after the heart of God? Seek after the things of God. And when you have commitments and responsibilities, be faithful to them. See, when David, he was a humble shepherd boy taking care of his sheep. A lion and a bear came to kill his sheep. And David, you know what he did? He risked his life to protect the sheep. And he tore apart the lion and the bear. These things took place where no one saw his deeds but God. You see, folks, we have to seek after the things of God and seek to protect our brothers and sisters in prayer and things of this nature and do everything we can to be a blessing and a help. God sees what you do in private, in secret. David risked his life. Selfless. He was selfless. These things took place where nobody saw them. They were out in the backside of a hill or a mountain or whatever it was. He was faithful in the little things. When you're faithful in the little things, folks, God will make you ruler over much. David was faithful in the things to his father. David wasn't even there when Samuel came to anoint. Why? He was being faithful out in the field. Faithful. We must learn from David to be faithful in the little responsibilities that God gives to us. Only then, when you're faithful in those little things that God asked you to do, God will give you greater responsibilities. You want to be used of God? Be faithful in the little things. David had a call on his life in 1 Samuel 16, 6 through 13. And it came to pass when they were come that he took Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not unto his countenance or on his height or his stature, because I have refused him for the Lord." Let me tell you something. You can look like the greatest Christian that walks. You could put on a great front, but God sees if you're faithful. Come on. God sees what you do when you're on your own. The Lord said unto Samuel, "I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And Jesse called Amminadab and made him pass before Samuel and said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." And Jesse brought Shimei and passed by, and he said, "Neither hath this and chosen this, the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he cometh thither. And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, godly to look to. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. You see, David was called. David was chosen by God. When Samuel went to the house of Jesse to anoint king from among his sons, David was not even there. He wasn't even present. He was busy about his father's business. Even his own father, folks, had no hopes for David. He didn't even call him in. When Samuel said, I'm going to anoint one of your sons, he didn't even go get David. Didn't even call him in. He had no hope for him. But God, folks, chose David to be king over Israel, even though his own family had rejected him. We have that, don't we? We try to do things right, and our family rejects us. Psalms 118, verse 22 and 23, for the stone which the builder refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Let me tell you something, folks. I believe this. We don't need anybody to toot our horns. God will raise you up if you're doing right. Amen? God sees. We must not be discouraged when we are rejected by men, because it is God who has chosen us, and He will establish us in the calling He has given to us. Amen? We got to understand, God sees what we're doing. God will exalt you in time. When God does it, it'll be done right. Don't try to toot your own horn. Look what I did. Amen? I believe a man's ministry will make room for itself. Amen? Courage, 1 Samuel 17, 23 and 24. And as he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. 1 Samuel 17, 45 and 47, and then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You see, folks, David could have relied on swords and all these other kind of things, but God took care of it. Amen. Sometimes we rely on those things of men. We want help from this or that, but we need to say, God, you are able to take care of this giant. The situation in my life. Amen. David had courage to face Goliath. I ask you tonight, do you have courage to face whatever situation is confronting you? Do you have courage because you serve the Almighty God? Amen. Hallelujah. Even when all the soldiers fled from Goliath in fear, and David's brothers were among them, David was willing to face challenge. You see, he had great faith in God. He had a zeal for his God. He wanted to bring glory to his God by defeating the enemy who was mocking his God, the God of Israel. And you see, God honored his courage. It takes courage to face situations. Come on. You know, you may be wanting God to move in a certain area in your life, and you're just tired of waiting. Hold on. It takes courage. I want what God has for me. I don't want anything else. We must have faith. See, David could have went up there and said, come on, guys, let's go up there with me. Let's go face that giant. He could have been trying to drag other people and look into his own strength. He walked up there. He said, God's going to take care of this situation. I'm standing here alone. You may feel like you're all alone wherever you're at. It takes courage to stand in front of that. Amen? You must have faith in God when you face your enemy. You must have faith in God when you face these situations in your life. The Lord will honor our courage. He will honor our zeal. And He will grant you the victory. See, there was a chase in 1 Samuel 23:14. David was being chased. In verse 14 and 15, and David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. Feel like that? The enemy is at you every day. God, when are you going to take care of this situation? Here, David, he's already anointed king. He's already been promised things. But every day, this assault coming at him. He remained in the mountains of Ziph, and Saul sought him every day. His problem sought him every day. But God delivered him not into his hand. He wasn't turned over into that hand. David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the wood. You feel like you're wandering around, running into trees? David was chased by Saul. Saul was pursuing David. He was after him to kill him. And David had to face suffering. He had to face danger in spite of doing great exploits for his nation. Instead of being honored by the king, he was honored and had to flee for his life. Or he was hounded, I'm sorry. He was hounded. He had to flee for his life. David did not turn against God. He didn't get angry at God for allowing him to go through such trials in his life. He continued to cling to God for help, to help him come out of these trials. And folks, we must not murmur against God. Come on. We must not murmur against God when we face trials. Why? Because of the attacks of the enemy against the call of God upon our lives. God, I'm a child. I'm serving you. I'm going to church. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Why does this always happen to me? Don't murmur against your God. We must hold on to God until He delivers us from our afflictions. You got to have a conscience, folks. In 1 Samuel 24:4-7, David had a conscience. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And he said, and it came to pass afterwards that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto him, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And David stayed his servant with these words, and he suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. They wanted him to kill him. Hey, here's your chance, David. Here's your chance to take care of the situation yourself, David. First Samuel 24:12, the Lord judge between me and thee. And the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. David had a tender conscience. You see, when we had an opportunity, he had an opportunity to kill Saul. He refused to touch God's anointed. His conscience pricked him for even cutting a portion of Saul's robe off. He let God judge between him and Saul, folks. You got to let God take care of the situation. He did not want to lay his hand on the one whom God had anointed. And we must not take the place of God and try to judge and avenge ourselves. Let God take care of you. Let God have your back. We should be careful not to touch or harm God's anointed by our words or our actions. We must allow God to deal with his anointed when they go astray. Amen? In 2 Samuel 5, 1 through 5, then came all the tribes of Israel to David up to Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past when Saul was king over us, thou wast that... Was he that led us out and brought us in Israel? And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people of Israel, and thou shalt be captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. In Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all of Israel and Judah. He had a coronation. David experienced the fulfillment of God's promise, and he was crowned as king of Israel and Judah. Even though David was king only over Judah for the first 7.5 years, you see, the people of Israel who accepted him as their king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 33 years over both Israel and Judah, David experienced the fulfillment of the promise of God in his life, which he received when he was anointed by Samuel. See, David didn't go right into everything that he was anointed for that day. It took time. And this was a process for him. He learned through these things. And so we got to be patient until we experience the fulfillment of God's promise to us. You're here tonight, you believe that God has given you a word, amen, hang on to that word. Amen. David received the fulfillment of God's promise and to go through the process that God, he leads us through until we reach our destiny. David wasn't ready for what God had when Samuel anointed him. God, I've been going through this forever. Is it ever going to end? Maybe you need to learn some things. Come on. Maybe you need to learn to appreciate how God is going to bless you. Come on. Or there's other things that God says, hey, I want you to clean this, clean your act up here. Do this or do that. Search yourself. But David knew how to be humble also. 2 Samuel 12:13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. David here had a contrite and repented heart. When he sinned against God, the Lord sent a prophet to make him realize his sin. This is talking about Bathsheba and her husband. When David realized his sin, he acknowledged his transgressions. Sometimes it's hard for us to admit we were wrong. David understood, because he was a man after God's heart. Hey, God, I did you wrong. I want your forgiveness. He did not give excuses. He didn't try to justify his sin. Don't give God your excuses. Show God, I'm sorry. Amen? Don't say, well, God, I know I did wrong, but I did it because of this. Don't try to justify it. Just say, God, I'm wrong. David admitted that he had sinned against the Lord. You see, the prophet then assured him that God would forgive him. So David obtained the grace and mercy of God in his life. That's what you want, folks. Just tell God. God sees every situation. He understands every situation. He knows why you did what you did. God just wants you to say, I'm sorry. And then he will give you that forgiveness. David obtained the grace and mercy of God in your life. That's what each one of us should seek for. God's grace and his mercy. The Lord did not reject the Psalms of David. And he included them in the Word of God. And the Psalms of David are still blessing to millions around the world even today. You see, God, folks, we must learn. We got to learn from David, and we have to learn to admit to our sins before God in order to obtain grace and mercy. Saul didn't. Saul would not be repentant. He lost everything. So you can look at tonight. Do I want to be like David and seek after the will of God? Do I want to admit to my sins? Do I want to admit to God and not give him excuses for why I do what I do and receive that grace and mercy? Or do I want to be like Saul and lose out with God and lose everything? We have to learn from David. Learn to admit our sins before God in order to obtain grace and mercy in our lives. And then our lives will be a channel of blessings to others. That's what God wants in us. He wants to bring us to a place, folks, where he can use us. And we need, sometimes God says, I have this for you, but you got to get to a certain place. Maybe you need to learn to ask God to forgive you tonight. Maybe you need to learn some things that God wants to bless you, but you got to learn some things. Find out, get on your knees, seek God. What is it, God? What is it that I need? Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen. Know where your help is tonight. Know where your strength is tonight, folks. Let's stand. Amen. I pray this helps you tonight. If you're here, God wants to encourage you to just trust in him. Wait on him. He knows where you're at. Amen. He sees where you're at, and he will take care of you. We love you, Jesus. We ask you to bless each of us here. Help us, God, to understand that we need to seek after you. Lord, we need to repent if we need to repent. God, help us, Lord, God, every day, Lord, to learn from you. Bless each one here, I pray, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed. Greet one another in Jesus' name.